Whoever felt so overwhelmed with the stress and pressure of the complicated business details surrounding the planning for a loved one to enter long-term care? Have you ever felt the pressure of being unprepared and faced with the final planning and arrangements for funeral or memorial services of a loved one? Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the details surrounding estate planning and estate settlements and so forth? If so, stay tuned to learn how you can be best prepared and have a plan when we find ourselves faced with the pressures of personal end-of-life challenges.
Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio. Or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255 or long distance 877-420-8255. Well, good morning. Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. I am your host, Fred Kitchen, and we've got our co-host here, Gene Dean, with us. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you, Fred. Good to be with you this morning.
Good to be with you. Good to be with you. How has your week been?
Hot.
It is a hot week here.
It's a hot week, isn't it? But aren't we glad to have the air conditioning back on in
the
studio?
We are. Absolutely. It makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. You know, some of the things that we've been talking about, we'll go ahead and get into the show, but some of the things we've been talking about the past few weeks have been estate planning, which is, like you and I were talking before we went on the air, is one of those things that it's a subject matter that we know we need to be taken care of. Anything that has to do with final planning or estate planning is something that we oftentimes avoid. And we're going to continue to dig into that a little deeper. I think we got a really good start last show.
I think we did.
And we talked about a Wall Street Journal article that was published a couple weeks back, and we'll dig a little further into that. We've had a lot of good responses from people that felt like that was very valuable information to them.
That's a good idea, Fred.
We'll dig
into
that.
I think, too, that when people, you know, just the ordinary Joe hears the word estate planning, and they think, well, I don't have an estate. They do.
Exactly. If you've got a car, if you've got a home, I mean, you don't have to have a whole lot, but if you've got any type of personal asset, if you're working or you have retirement or whatever, you know, whatever, I guess the best way to explain it is if you're breathing and you're contributing to society, you have an estate.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully that's some of the things that we can continue to do is by bringing our expert guests in and taking this information, something that's so huge, and tearing it down just to little tiny nuggets that's manageable.
Little bits that you can manage. That's right. Maybe it'd be a good idea for you to give us some background on that Wall Street Journal article.
Yeah, there was a Wall Street Journal article that we kind of touched on once before, and we're going to dig into it a little further, and it was called The 25 Documents That You Need Before You Die. That was the actual name of the article. Excellent article. Since last show, we've had a lot of comments. We've had some online comments and some emails and things like that, and even some phone calls. So I think we found something here that is important and relevant to all of us. You know, one of the things that I read in this article said the financial consequences of failing to keep your documents in order can be significant. According to the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators, state treasurers currently hold $32.9 billion in unclaimed bank accounts and other assets.
That's an amazing figure.
Yeah, just by not having a plan, by not having your affairs in order is what happens, you know. So it goes back to what we were talking a little while ago about a will, you know, before we went on the air. Mm-hmm. And that is so important to have that.
That's the first step, isn't it?
That's the first step. Mm-hmm. You really need to have a will in place, at least a simple will. Mm-hmm. And we've had Steve Sluss on the show before, our resident attorney, and he's talked about the importance of a will and even a handwritten will. You know, at least have something down, some type of document in place that is going to kind of direct how you want things to go.
I'm afraid that people think that making a will is going to be very expensive, and they think, well, I don't need to spend out hundreds of dollars having a will made. It actually doesn't cost that much.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you know, it's I think it's very good to have an attorney involved.
Yes.
I think you definitely need to have an attorney involved. But, you know, even if saying attorney might scare you a little bit, you know, because not everyone may be comfortable with going to an attorney right away. And if they're not, you know, there's other forms of some basic wills that can be purchased online. Like Steve said, it's not perfect, but it is something. You can even handwrite a will. We looked at a will just last show.
That beautiful word, holographic will.
The holographic will, that's right.
It just means handwritten.
Just means handwritten, that's right. But we talked about that. I mean, it's just a matter of having, it's about having a plan, and that's all the will is. A will is a plan. It's a roadmap. It's okay, here's where we are right now, and here's what I have, and here's how I want it to be divided up after I'm gone.
It's very comforting to have that.
Absolutely.
And it, not only to the person making the will, but also to the family, to know that mom's leaving this bracelet to somebody. I mean, you can really get into detail.
You can. You can. You can get into super detail with regard to the will. And I think that's something that we'll talk about. We can talk about it a little bit right now. Also, there was another document that I stumbled across, and we'll look at that, Gene. It was called How to Write a Will.
Yes, I see that. That looks interesting.
And I think we mentioned this statistic once before on the air, but according to the December 2010 survey in findalaw.com, roughly 55% of Americans do not have a will.
55%, that's more than half of us
yeah,
don't have a will.
More than half does not have a will in place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, typically I would say, I mean, this might be an educated guess, but if they don't have a will in place, they probably don't have a lot of other plans in place.
Well, if you don't have the basic will, you probably don't have things like the medical power of attorney, mm-hmm. the living will, even a power of attorney. So who knows, if you don't have that in place, who's going to act for you if you're incapacitated and you cannot do it yourself?
Well, and I say there's a lot of people that don't even know the answer to that question right now.
True.
That's listening to the show right now that's going, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've never thought about it, or, you know, I don't want to think about it.
That's,
you know,
right. A lot of people are superstitious, and they think if I start talking about writing my will, well, then, you know, it's going to bring the, what do they call it? The dreaded Reaper?
The Grim Reaper?
The Grim Reaper.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we don't, nobody wants to visit from him for some reason.
But that's not the case, of course. It's just simple good sense to do this.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that we talk about with, you know, how to write a will is leave no room for interpretation. An unclear will makes for a foggy settlement of the estate. If it's not clear, I mean, it's got to be straightforward, and it's got to be clear as to what you want done with things.
Yeah, I'm wondering, how do you make sure that what you're saying is clear? What do you use the simplest language, or?
Well, you know, with attorneys, sometimes the simplest language is not ever used.
Yeah.
And we love our attorney friends. But you know, they're trying to make sure that things are ironclad and legal mm-hmm. for us, you mm-hmm. know, best represents us. But sometimes it's not that simple. But I think we can. I think a lot of times we can make it that simple. And one of the things that we can also do that I think is very important is talk to our family about, and a lot of people may not want to do this, but talk to our family about what we're are going to say in our will. Hey, this is how I'm kind of thinking about leaving things to the family.
You think that's a good idea to leave?
Well, I don't know. It could definitely cause a problem. I guess here's the thing. I mean, you know, you're kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to surprise everybody, and when I'm gone, what are they going to do? You know,
mm-hmm,
I guess that's
mm-hmm.
probably a lot of people's thought process,
yeah.
You know.
Maybe you could, instead of doing exact amounts or percentages or items, you could just sort of say, well, so-and-so and, you know, John, Mary, and Jill, they're all included in the will.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. Yeah, you could do that, something vague. But I think they at least need to know that you have the will in place.
Absolutely. And, of course, if you go to an attorney, he's going to put all the bells and whistles on.
Absolutely. He's going to do what he can to protect you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you're talking about what to put in it. Be exact. You know, clearly state your name, your address. And this is if someone's just going to write this themselves. An attorney's going to do all this for them.
Right.
But if somebody's going to, you know, for those who may be in fear of going and see an attorney or don't know where to start and just need to have something basic, this would be a good place for someone to begin right here.
And it is something that you pulled up from the web.
It's off of smartmoney.com.
Yeah. Right.
And we'll be having a link to this on our website at pftradio.com. They'll be able to download this or get to the Smart Money Radio And look at this.
I think one of the things that maybe people might have the most difficulty with, not after they've divvied up everything, as you might say, would be that they need to pick an executor.
Right.
We ought to talk about that.
Right. Yeah. I think. Why don't we talk about that? Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And after our break, we'll go into talking about how to choose an executor. I think that's a great thing. And we will be right back with Planning for Tomorrow. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. And before we took a break, we were talking about the will and some other things in there.
The real necessity to make a will.
Yeah, that's
how
right.
to do it.
And we talked on break about a comment that you had there. Let's go ahead and look at that.
Yeah, there are some things that have certain sentimental value, especially for a woman. Jewelry, I think,
right.
is something. Of course, there are other things, but I think it's good to talk to your children or your best friends or whoever mm-hmm. and say, would you like to have this piece of jewelry, say,
absolutely.
When I'm gone?
Absolutely.
And find out. They'll probably say, oh, we don't need to talk about that, Mom, or something like that. But I think it's essential. And then you can make a little notation.
Right.
That, well, Jennifer gets this and Jill gets that.
My mother has been really bad about doing that. She'll say,
really?
Hey, do you want this clock, a grandfather clock? Would you like to have this clock when I die? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and I'm just like everybody else, even though I'm in the funeral business, I'm sitting there going, let's not talk about that. Yeah, I'd like to have the clock, but I'd like to have it now. You know, I don't want to talk about when you pass.
Well, I'm glad you found somebody for the clock, because I have a grandfather clock, too, and
I don't know what on earth
I'm going to do with it. Oh, and he's shaking his hand.
Ernie will take it. Yeah, those are important things, you know. I mean, in jewelry, I know that my mother has even mentioned to with my children, her grandkids, and even my brother's children, is that there's certain ones that she wants to have certain pieces of jewelry.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's a great thing to, as opposed to just putting it in a big pool and letting people kind of fight over it, I guess,
right.
for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But to actually say, here, you know, I want this piece to go to Susie. I want this piece to go to Sally, you know.
Yeah, I think you should do that first before you kind of throw the gates open to say, what would you like?
Right.
Because there's definitely sentimental value with a lot of pieces of jewelry and other things, too.
There was a comment that was online that someone had made, and they said, you know, hey, when something happens to me, I want my family to have to this was a real comment. I wanted them to have to fight over
Ooh.
Everything. And that creates an absolute nightmare and mess. And
whether you want them to or
yeah,
not, they probably will or may.
Yeah,
so.
And that does create billable hours for attorneys and accountants also, so, which is
well.
Great for them. But, you know, that's definitely something that I think is wise to probably even discuss with them. Say, hey, would you like
oh,
to
yes,
have this clock?
Yeah.
Would you like to have this piece of jewelry?
Yeah, I would hate to think of my family fighting over things.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's not what you want, especially at that time.
Yeah.
You know, that's time when family needs to be coming together.
Right, exactly. And emotions are really high at that time, as you well know, of
mm-hmm.
course. And so pile something on top of that, like fighting over who gets what.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a really tough time.
Bit much.
Yeah.
Well, you know, talking about that, one of the other things that we've got to think about is who is going to be our executor and how do we choose that executor to...
That is difficult.
You have to put a lot of thought process into that.
Yeah.
Agree?
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree, because maybe you'll choose one of the children. That may not sit well with the other children. Maybe you'll choose one of your own generation. Well, that may not be a good idea because, you know, you're both going to get older. And
absolutely.
Maybe that person will not outlive you. So, well, what's your thought about that, Fred? How do you go about picking an executor?
Well, you know, I think you do have to put a lot of thought into that. I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, you need to look at who you think is going to really... You know how you operate your personal business.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that we want to do is put someone in charge of our estate that may not operate along the same mindset that we operate on. We want to make sure that our affairs are continued. This is the person that's going to continue to carry out our business.
Right. So you need somebody with a little bit of common sense, actually.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you want to look at who probably is... a level-headed person in your family, someone
right.
who really thinks along the same lines you do
yeah.
and really is going to honor your wishes the way that you would want them honored.
Right. And then, of course, you have to ask them if they're willing to do it.
Exactly, because there's a lot of work involved, as
yeah.
you well know, in
mm-hmm.
doing that.
Mm-hmm. And you also need a backup, I found, too, that
right.
you have to put in, you know, a replacement if that person, for some reason or other, cannot do it.
Yeah, the executor is the person that you designate to see that the wishes in your will are carried out.
Right.
Right. That's the person. That's who that person is.
Yeah, and really, it gives that person a lot of authority.
It does. It gives them a lot of authority.
Yeah.
And you know, again, what they're going to do is execute your will and execute your wishes. You know, they're basically the person that's acting on your behalf. They're going to take care of any type of bills that may still be coming in after the death would occur, taxes.
Right.
On the home, things like that.
Of course, that doesn't mean that they'll have to pay those things.
No.
I mean, they have
it's paid out
accounts.
Of the estate. That's right.
And, of course, at least in West Virginia, you have to go to the courthouse and get the will and probate and letters of appraisement and all that kind of thing. So
it's a process. There's a lot of time that someone's going to spend involved in taking care of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to ensure delivery. And when we're talking about ensuring delivery, it says you have to decide whether your executor should post a bond to the probate court. And this is going to depend on state to state, depending on what state you're in.
Will it depend? I see what you mean. I was thinking estate, but you're saying state to state.
Yeah, right.
Does it pretty much depend upon how much money or valuable things are involved as to whether or not you post bond?
I believe that's part of the process. We need to find out from local probate here in our area exactly, and we need to have them on a show actually to kind of help.
That would be good.
That would be really good to be able to have that, because we would have that information to the T exactly how they do it, because it's going to, in West Virginia, it's going to change from county to county. It might be a little different from, you know, Kanawha County may be a little different from Cabell County, just a few different little things.
Really? But I did not realize that.
Primarily it's the same, but there's a few little different things that's involved. And I think it's a matter of how that that office operates, basically.
Right. And, of course, all that we're talking about now, Fred, is actually if someone chooses to handwrite their own will.
Right.
If you go to an attorney, obviously the attorney is going to
take care of all that for you.
That's
the benefit of using an attorney. I mean, you know, you really need to, if at all possible, you need to have an attorney involved.
Yeah, we're not here just to promote the legal
profession. No, we're not.
But we're suggesting that it's a good idea to have an attorney
advise
you.
Yeah. Well, like I said, what we're doing here is if someone wanted to kind of write their own will, give them some pointers here on what they can do.
Yeah.
Again, laws vary from state to state. We definitely want to make the will legal, and as long as it's signed and witnessed, you know, it becomes a legal document.
Right.
And
you know, while we're talking about things that we own, in other words, our estate, I see something very interesting here. And it says what not to do when you're writing a will. And then don't try to pass on something that you don't own entirely.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if it's something that, let's say, you and your husband own together.
Right.
You know, like some of the bank accounts say, John Smith and Jane Smith.
A joint account,
yeah. If it's written that way, then it needs a different method of handling it.
Absolutely. It has to be handled totally different.
Yeah.
And like you said, we're definitely not trying to promote the legal business, but those people can really help us decipher and understand a lot of this a lot more than
it's
good to have them involved.
And once you've worked your way through all this, and I hope, listeners, you're not throwing up your hands and saying, I can't do all this. You can, believe me.
Absolutely.
Just take it step by step. But then that will's got to be put in a safe place.
That's right.
And somebody has to know where that safe place is.
And that's exactly right. And that needs to be that person or those persons that you trust, again.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a safe. It could be a safety deposit box. It could be that metal box underneath the bed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's the attorney, of course, would have a copy of that on file.
Sure.
So there's several places that you can actually have that will in place, that so it's secured and it's in a good location.
Right. I think what you found here on this smartmoney.com, is that the name of the website?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that could be really, really helpful for somebody to look at whether
they're
going
to an
attorney or not.
It's actually pretty simple,
isn't it? Yeah, it does simplify it. Smartmoney.com and how to write a will. So it's it really is very, very helpful here.
Right.
But we're also advising that check it out with an attorney if you feel so inclined.
Exactly. Yeah. And something we're going to also be talking about here in a little bit more detail is how to manage our documents. You know, once we have documents in order, how are we going to manage those documents? I mean, because, you know, there is several documents involved other than a will.
I'm not following you here, Fred. How to manage them?
Right. How do you put them in some type of a order that makes sense? I mean, are they are they going to be in three or four different locations? Are we going to put them all in one location?
Okay. You know? Well, and that brings up the fact that once you made your will, it's probably good to have a copy or two in more than one place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and another thing, we're kind of moving around here a little bit, but another thing I do want to talk about is we're kind of going to move in from the will to life insurance, and we're going to talk in greater detail in a little bit about that. But, you know, how to choose a beneficiary. You know, we were talking about how to choose an executor.
Mm-hmm.
How do you choose a beneficiary of a life insurance policy? You know, that's another very important decision.
Yeah.
You know, this is the person that you're actually going to leave money to.
In your business, Fred, do you find that most people actually have life insurance?
Majority of people still have life insurance.
Do they?
Yeah, have life insurance. We're seeing that, but we're starting to see more and more, I hate to say it, but my generation, that is becoming non-insured. They just don't have the insurance. They have not purchased it. They don't see the need for it, you know, and absolutely need to have themselves protected.
And if there isn't any life insurance,
they're carrying a lot of financial burden at that point. You know, I mean, the thing of it is, if there's a mortgage involved, if there's car payments involved, you know, we're in a society today where a lot of credit is used. And of course, you know, the banks have tightened up on that, but there's still a lot of credit that's been out there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the event of a death of a spouse or something like that, it could mean financial ruin.
Yeah.
For someone if they don't have that covered, if they're not debt free.
Right. You know, right. So, as you say, there's the mortgage on the house, there's car payments, and certainly. Last but not least is who's paying for the funeral.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you've got to take all these things into consideration.
Right. Well, you know, and who is that beneficiary? How do we decide who that person's going to be? A lot of times it could be our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be our spouse in a lot of instances. It's going to be our wife or our husband. It could be a child. It could be a relative or a close friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but
and of course you can have more than one beneficiary.
You can have more than one beneficiary. You can have some co-beneficiaries. You know, and a lot of it, like if there's three kids.
Oh, okay.
You know, you may want to just divide that up between three children. You know,
yeah, three children each gets a third.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So
in West Virginia, if you don't leave a will, everything automatically goes to a surviving spouse, I believe.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's a legal, if there is a surviving spouse, everything goes to that surviving spouse. Right.
Yeah. But beyond that, I don't know where it goes after that. If there's no surviving spouse, does it go to children?
Well, it would. It would go. It goes in bloodline.
Okay.
It follows bloodline is how that works.
Okay.
And we need to have Steve on here sometime to really dig into
that
deeper.
Let's bring back
Steve.
Yeah.
We'll have him back on here. But it does. It follows bloodline. So it would go to the surviving spouse, and then it would go on to the children. So we'll definitely, let's dig into this a little bit deeper, Gene, talking about beneficiaries when we come back. You're listening to Planning for Tomorrow. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow.
Here on Super Talk. We talk about everything on this show, but
we
like to be helpful, don't we, Fred?
We do. That's exactly what we're trying to do, is provide some helpful information.
Absolutely.
To our listeners. We've been talking about choosing a beneficiary, and for our insurance policy, we were talking about the executor, choosing an executor for our state, talking about choosing a beneficiary and the importance of choosing the right person and who to choose. I mean, we talked about a spouse, a child, another family member.
Watch out for the age of the person that you choose to be.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You mentioned that a minute ago. You know, if you're 80, you probably don't want to pick someone who's
One of your contemporaries, right? Get somebody who's younger than you are. But
that's the reality of
Well, it is.
You know,
you've got to have somebody who's capable. Not to say that if you're 80 years old, you're not capable, but somebody who's going to outlive you. Let's put it that way.
Right.
That's
going
the
outlive
important
you.
Thing.
And be in the health position to be able to, because you're going to be a lot of moving around and handling a lot of this stuff. You're going to be meeting a lot of people, running a lot of places, going to banks, you know, going to different places, you know, so you want to make sure that you're in a health position to be able to do that.
And not to make it sound too difficult, but nevertheless, you also need a backup.
Right.
Because if the first choice of executor is not able to serve for some reason, whatever it might be, then you've got to have the understudy, shall we say, ready to go.
Right. So. And this, you know, this may be something you want to actually talk to your insurance provider about, but for a spousal beneficiary, you know, most of the assets, financial assets, will pass on tax-free. So that's something to really think about.
That's a comforting thought.
It
yes.
is, isn't it?
Unless you're up into the millions, and then
exactly, then a different referee comes into play at that point.
Right, you're exactly right about that. But something else that you mentioned, Fred, was, and I'm not sure that I understood this, so help me to understand how to manage important documents. What exactly does that mean?
Well, you know, and we're going to have, we've got someone that's going to be on our show here in the upcoming weeks that's going to help us even more about helping manage documents. But, you know, in managing those documents, we're talking about where to put them. I mean, in a lot of cases, where I am involved with a funeral home, where we own Henson Mortuary, we see families come in, and they, and even other funeral homes that I've worked at in the past, I've had families come in, and they'll have a bag, they'll have two bags, and might have insurance policies in this bag that they, and I'm talking like a shopping bag,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
from the grocery store, plastic
mm-hmm.
bag,
mm-hmm.
and then they might have another bag that might have something else in it. They might have a metal box that has something, some other documents in it. You know, I think we need to have all these documents in some type of order.
Yeah.
They need to be in some type of order. They need to be in one central location. Because let's face it, I mean, my wife, there's no way that she would ever be able to figure out how I think after I'm gone. So, you know, I need to make that easy. You know, the little things that we might do that we might place, well, I'm going to place this here because I know where it's at.
Right.
No one else knows where it's at, and they're going to have to hunt and find. And, you know, when a death occurs, there's going to be certain documents that they're going to need to lay their hands on. Rather
That's
quickly.
That's true.
And it really creates a lot of additional stress and burden if those documents aren't in order. So when we're talking about managing those documents, we're talking about putting them in some type of a order, keeping them one central location. Again, that safe, that safety deposit box at the bank, you know, whatever. There's another company that we're going to be having on the air in the future called DocuBank. And DocuBank is a company that actually stores these documents for you online, for those who aren't afraid of storing things online. And I think they've got a lot of good information they're going to bring our way. They keep things like your living will online. All those type of documents are available. And even if you don't want them stored online, they can be stored with this company. But they can also be accessed from a driver's license or from other IDs that they would provide you in the event that you would go into a hospital. And the hospital can call this company and have access through this document that they have access to your living will and all those kind of things if you don't have a family member or friend that's taking care of this for you.
That'll be interesting to talk to them mm-hmm. about that, because personally I'm always a little scary about what I put
right.
online. But
right.
on the other hand, if they can prove that they're really, really safe.
Absolutely.
As you say, if you're in the hospital, then things can be pulled up even with the people there at the hospital.
Absolutely.
If necessary.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's one good thing. And while this is a really serious subject that we're talking about, just to impress upon people the necessity for having a will, there's an absolutely hilarious movie that was made a few years ago, Fred. It's called Father's Dead and Who's Got the Will?
Uh-huh.
And while it was a comedy, there was a lot of truth in it, because nobody could find that will.
Right. and everybody wants to see that will.
Yeah, I wish I could get a copy of that movie.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I've been trying to find it. If anybody finds that, or if you've got a copy of it, let me know.
Get it to Jean. She'll burn us all copies.
Well, that helps me to understand what's meant by managing the
important
documents.
Well, one of the other things in managing those documents is we're talking about monthly papers that we receive, such as investments that we have. You know, you'll receive yeah. monthly and quarterly documents.
Reports. Mm-hmm.
Keeping those things in those documents in a file somewhere that's orderly, as opposed to just sitting on the nightstand or sitting on the table in the you know, because they're going to have to hunt for the most recent documents.
Once you get into setting up a system,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe a little manila folder for everything and put them in alphabetical order, then you can just make it routine that you put the report in there each month that it comes in.
And, you know, that'll kind of, you know, it don't have to be an overwhelming procedure as starting this document, you know, this binder or whatever we're going to, this manila envelope, you know, it can just be just putting them in this one location. And like you said, you'll find that will continue to build. You'll say, oh, you know what, I just got this in the mail. I probably ought to put that in there with that also.
Right, right.
I think we mentioned in a former show that there was a gentleman that I seen that he brought in a notebook, a hardbound notebook, and inside that notebook he had tabbed. He had bought these tabs at like one of the office supply stores, and then had the clear sheet protectors. And inside this, it said insurance policies. And you flip to that tab, and there was his insurance policies.
Now, that was a really organized man.
Exactly. And you flip to another tab, and it would say car titles, you know, home, investments, you know. And that was it just made it so easy for the family to be able to go to that one binder. They knew where it was located. They knew it was in the safe. And they knew that everything was in that binder that really was going
to
fill.
I want to say something here about car titles, because this is something that happened to us just recently, is the fact that once you finish paying off the bank for the car, make sure that the bank sends you the title.
Absolutely. We did talk about that. Talk about that a little further there, about how that.
I mean, I was looking all over for this title for this car, and I knew that it had all been paid up. Mm-hmm. And I had to go through about three different companies in order to find out that the bank in Charlotte had not sent the title when it was paid off. So,
and you thought you had lost the title or misplaced it?
I was looking all over the place for that title.
And again, you know, as crazy as it is in the society that we live in today, they look at that's our responsibility to be able to follow up with them. That's the way the banks look at it.
Don't you think?
I mean, they're like, well, you should have called.
And we think we call it customer service, and it isn't.
No, it's not. It's not. No.
So check out the titles if you paid off your car. It's really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's just so important. And you know, here's the thing. Even if you just create yourself a checklist of these type of things, and then you can always go through. And this is not something that you have to do today or tonight, and you have to get it all done in 24 hours. This is something that's an ongoing process.
Yeah, but you need to get started on it, because if you don't start it, if you're like me, you'll just keep putting it off and putting it off.
Right. Here's something else in talking about keeping those documents all in one place and keeping them organized. And we're talking about organized. We're talking about weeding out the old documents that may not even be what I would call live documents any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that you had an insurance policy through a certain insurance company. And that policy was for $10,000, we'll say. And then later on, for whatever reason, you no longer have that policy in place, and you've bought another policy through another company, or even a $25,000 policy through that same company, let's say. That first policy for $10,000 is no longer any good, because, you know, you've canceled that policy and you've got a new policy. But what happens is a lot of people will keep those documents. They'll keep that old policy. And what happens is the family member sitting there going, oh, yeah, we have $40,000 worth of insurance, because they see a $25,000 policy. They see a $10,000 policy. So they think they've got all this insurance. And when you go to call, this thing was canceled 15, 20 years ago
to buy the new policy. I see what you're saying here.
So you see the dilemma that it can put people in.
Yeah.
And now let's take that down to say that they have two $5,000 policies, and they're going into a funeral home to make funeral arrangements, and they think they've got a certain amount of insurance. This has happened. And one of those policies is no good, and it's simply because they decided to cancel it and buy from they had this insurance policy with John Doe. He was the neighborhood insurance agent that went around from home to home. But then little Johnny, the grandson, decided to start selling insurance, so they canceled that policy and bought from him for whatever reason.
Right, I understand what you're
and
saying.
So now they have two policies, one that's good and one that's not, and then when it's left behind because they weren't taking care of those documents, did not discard the old policy, the family.
That's really important because frequently people think that there's much more insurance than there actually is there.
Absolutely.
And you know, that applies to wills, too.
Absolutely.
If you've made more than one will, just keep the current one. Throw the others out.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
You are listening to Planning for Tomorrow. And we are back, and you're listening to Planning for Tomorrow, and we would like to go ahead and open up our phone lines.
Yes, let's go ahead and do that. And the numbers, of course, are the usual numbers that we use here on the station, and that's 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. And although we don't pretend to be attorneys,
no way.
Fred's got a whole lot of information, and you know I'm always good at chiming in. So
and absolutely, it takes all of us to make this work. You know, all we're trying to do is really provide information that is helpful to people and give them a resource to get information. You know, what I found, Gene, over the years is that there's a lot of people that are confident. You know, they're confident in life, and they have no problem in picking up the phone and calling the accountant, the attorney, the appropriate people even the funeral director, the appropriate people they need to call to take care of things. But there's some people that are just intimidated to a certain extent and don't want to have to make that phone call or won't ask that question. So what we're trying to do is provide a venue, I guess per se, that they can actually gather this information. Hopefully we can put some nuggets out there that they can just grab that one little thing that's helpful to them. And then we also have our website that we've put in place, and that's pftradio.com, pftradio.com. And on that website, we've got a lot of documents that we continue to add that is downloadable from your home. You can download it to your computer and print it right out and look at it in the privacy of your own home. And then if you have further questions, you know, you can always, you know, move on from there, send an email or call us or whatever. But at least that's an avenue for them to be able to gather information.
I think you said, too, Fred, that there was even a link on there to the Making a Will, the smartcom, money.com.
There's a link
we
on that.
About.
There's a link on the website on pftradio.com. If you'll go there, there's a link to the Wall Street Journal article. There's a link to the articles we're talking about today, the Smart Money articles. So you can just click on those and go right to those documents.
I think people are really learning from what you've been telling us and the guests that we've brought in here.
It's our hope.
And you've been hearing some interesting comments.
We've been hearing some interesting comments, you know, and everybody's got things that they've – we all talk from experience, don't we, a lot of
sure.
times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here's some comments that we've received. William says, you know, the most important document for him and their heirs that they felt like was the death certificate. Actually getting that death certificate, because really, when you think about it, you can have all these other documents in order, and we got to have them in order, but we can't execute on any of them without that death certificate.
And actually, you, as at the mortuary, though, you would help somebody to get that death certificate,
right?
Right.
We assist them. We gather the appropriate information that we need to complete that death certificate, and then we take that information and get it completed. Ourselves and their attending physician will sign that death certificate. And once we get it signed, we take care of making sure it goes to, in West Virginia, it goes to vital registration. In West Virginia, vital registration is recorded as a permanent legal document.
Right, and the death certificate is actually sealed.
It has a raised seal. That's
raised
right.
Seal on it, yeah.
And that's what, you know, a lot of cases, that's what banks are looking for when you're having to bring that in, and insurance companies.
Insurance companies.
They're wanting a raised seal. They want to make sure that this death has occurred, number one.
Right. Right.
And that if that raised seal's on there, they consider that a legal document from the state in which that death occurred.
Right. So you probably need more than one copy of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's very, very important.
Well, one of the things that this William has said is that you know, they had bought, I think when they had a death, they had bought, I think, 12 death certificates thinking they needed all those, when in fact they only needed 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that's another thing to think about when you're thinking about these documents is, how many do I really need? If I have, let's say I have, we'll talk about the insurance policy again. Let's say I have 3 live policies.
Okay.
And they're all through the same company. They're all through the same insurance provider. We're only going to need 1 death certificate for that company. We're not going to need 3.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's where a lot of families might make, you know, they might think, well, I'm going to need 3 because I have 3 policies. But if you have 3 policies through 3 different companies, then you'll need 3 different death certificates.
You probably would need one for a bank account, too, wouldn't you? A bank
right.
account, maybe, or even a credit card company.
Credit
I'm not
card
sure
company.
About that.
You know, what's interesting is a lot of the local banks, especially people that, you know, we do business with on a daily basis or a weekly basis, a lot of times we've seen that families will bring a death certificate in, the legal death certificate, okay. and they'll make a copy of that once they get it and give that death certificate back to
the original
family.
As yeah. it were yeah
right
yeah,
but
important.
They're wanting to see it. But anything that we send out of state, you know, to an insurance company, to a credit card, to anyone that's holding car title liens or anything like
right.
that, they're going to want that death certificate, and they do not return them.
Yeah, so you probably need 4 or 5.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to depend on your on the amount, and that's the thing that you have to look at with your funeral director and even with your attorney. But when you're sitting down and you're trying to figure out how many you need, those are some of the questions that's some of the questions that we ask a family.
Sure.
Is, you know, we need to think about stocks, bonds, insurance policies, you know, and try to get an accurate information, accurate enough information to know how many of those certificates you are
right,
going to need.
Right, you know, that's really, really important.
Right.
What were some of the other comments that
Patrick
you
said, my father-in-law died last year. I researched what needed to be done, and here's another one. Said they came up with recommendations. They needed 12. There's another comment about death certificates. This must be something that's on the minds of people. Death certificates were needed when they only needed 4 themselves. But they think there's
something to think about there, Fred.
It is something.
They are not without cost.
No, they're not without cost.
What is it, like $5 each or something?
Well, in the state of West Virginia, they are a little more expensive than that. They're $12 each.
Whoa, whoops.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are ordered from Vital Registration out of Charleston. And now here's the thing. Typically, we say 30 days. It'll be recorded back in the courthouse in which the death occurred in the county. So let's say the death occurs in Cabell County or Kanawha County. Then that death certificate would be recorded at a later point in time in that county.
Mm-hmm.
You can usually go and buy that death certificate from them at a less expensive price. It's at least half.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot less.
Okay.
The document will look a little different than the original certificates that you've ordered.
Will it have that raised seal?
It will have that raised seal. Yes, it will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's so important.
But so what I tell families is let's order the amount of documents we think we're going to need to conduct business in the upcoming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get those in our hands.
Yeah.
And then if you need additional documents, you find out you need additional.
Let's go back and get additional ones.
Yeah. Abby says it's really important to have everything in order, even if you're only 21.
Now, believe me, planning for tomorrow is not something you think about when you're 21,
but it would not be
a good idea to do that.
It says you never know when you're going to die, and even a 21-year-old can have a bank account, property, etc. Please take this seriously and have everything in order and have everything planned.
You got some good comments
there. Yeah. And then Mary says, my father-in-law made his passing much less stressful for his wife and his family by also leaving a binder with all the steps, the funeral home, wishes regarding burial, etc., insurance policies and all that stuff, telephone numbers needed, social security numbers, insurance policies and all that kind of stuff, and local tradespeople, friends and acquaintances, that his wife, this is interesting, that his wife may not have necessarily known.
Oh.
Let's say that he was a businessman in the community and maybe the wife was a homemaker.
Uh-huh.
And she may not have known all the friends that he had. She knew some, you know, but maybe not all that he went to lunch with or worked with, acquaintances. And he left a list of those individuals so that they could be contacted in the event of his death.
Now, that's a good point, isn't it? You know that you have to contact the immediate family, but if your family's like my family, then there's a lot of extended family. And if they don't hear about it and read about it in the newspaper, their feelings are going to be hurt.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
We'll receive comments from our website. We put all of our obituaries online for the families. And we'll receive comments a week later and say, you know, I had no idea. I'd just seen it where this person had passed away.
Right.
And so I read that and I thought that's a good idea because I know even myself, there's people that I come in contact with on a daily basis that my wife may not even know that I've come in contact with on a daily basis because it's business. And, you know, these are people that are friends of mine or people that I'm close to, and I would want them to know if something happened to me.
And there may be people not just local but out of town, and that's even more important perhaps. And
absolutely.
If you're a graduate of a university or college in another state, then most colleges, you know, they publish an alumni magazine. They need to be notified about it, too. It really is important to have that list.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
so I thought those were some good comments. I mean, those are really
good comments. It just shows that what we're doing here is helping people.
Right. People are thinking about it. I mean, you know, it's like we've talked about before many times. It's one of those things that we don't want to talk about. We don't want to think about. But at the same time, we do think about it. And we may not admit to anyone else that we think about it. But
well, you know, we hear of a traffic accident or something. And somebody is killed, sudden death. Or whatever, or somebody that you know down the street maybe passed on, and it's not morbid. I'm afraid people will think that, well, if I sit down and do all this, it's going to be very morbid. I'm going to get depressed. Well, get over it and do it.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of the things that we're talking about, and that's the last thing we want this show to be, is a show that is morbid or depressing to anyone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We want it to be all a resource of information. But you know, this is all the business that surrounds our life. You know, our daily life that we have. You know, it doesn't matter what job we have. There's business involved, or we wouldn't have utilities. We wouldn't have all these different things that we have to take care of. That's part of our survival and part of life.
True.
Is business.
Yeah.
And so, all we're talking about here is how we're going to make sure that someone else is conducting our business on our behalf.
That's right.
How we're going to continue to conduct our business up until the time that we are unable to conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the goal of the show is to...
Well, and I think we're meeting that goal, Fred. I think the information that you're able to bring in and the guests that you bring in, and I'm particularly interested to hear about the lady that we're going to interview from California
right.
In a future program.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be really helpful.
We've in a future show, we're going to have Julie Jones. Julie Jones actually created a estate and tax planning binder.
Mm.
And she did this for herself.
Mm-hmm.
She created this binder. She was trying to think, okay, how can I put all my information I have? Here's the thing. We've become a complicated society to a certain extent because let's say that we have private investment accounts online. A lot of people are doing online investing. There's passwords to that.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's money market accounts that's online that people aren't using local. You know, they're doing something online.
Right.
Those are going to be passworded. People are buying insurance offline. I mean, there's the online world has changed
that's
our world.
That's a program all on its own, Fred.
It's a program on its own. You're exactly right. So it's changed everything.
Really?
And so she's created this binder that we can actually have all this information in one location and have those passwords along with our insurance policies, along with all the other things. That's Julie Jones. She'll be on our next show.
Okay.
And so she's from Sonoma, California, and we'll be glad to have her along with us.
That'll be really
interesting. We'll have a link to her website also on Planning for Tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So I think we've had a good show. What do you think?
I think we've had a good show, too. And listeners, I want to be sure that you understand that we'll try and answer any questions that you have. So if you thought of something today, save it up for the next time, and we'll be here in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
We'll go for some more planning for tomorrow.
That's right. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
And that is pftradio.com is our website. So
that's right.
Have a great weekend, people, and thanks so much for listening.
This is your home for TalkLine with Hoppy Kirchival. SuperTalk 94.1 FM and AM 930, WRVC, Huntington.